Live from New York, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to talk about imagine. Our attitudes can change solely by the power of imagination. What's that mean? How can that help me? It can. Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences has an interesting study, and we'll be sharing that along with many others. Always cutting edge. You haven't heard what I share on other medium because we take our time to find you the best of the best. Always some peer-reviewed journals, always from respected institutions. Then, my guest is Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. And I'm going to set aside more time than normal, so I'm going to go directly from health and nutrition, take a brief break, and come right back in to Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Why? Because we are at a major crossroads. For all these decades, Monsanto was not thwarted, even at any level slowed down from acquiring all these seed companies and then absorbing them in to its own empire, diminishing almost 90% of the world's heirloom seeds. We used to have over 1,300 different types of apples. Now we're down to a handful. We can look at Monsanto as one of the purveyors of this, monopolize, legitimize through their control of the different governmental agencies, like Michael Taylor, used to be one of the top lawyers at Monsanto and now oversees the FDA's food safety, and before that, the USDA. So industry has fully captured governmental agencies. So they won, up until that one gentleman who was shown to have, he was a steward of the property, and he sprayed the property with Roundup, and he ended up with lymphoma. They gave him an astronomical settlement, and then it was finally brought down somewhere around $72 million. Then another one lost. Then another one, a third person won, and Monsanto lost. Three straight losses. Now, everyone thought it was a big deal when Bayer, B-A-Y-E-R, I thought it was always pronounced Bayer, but they pronounce it Bayer, bought Monsanto for tens of billions of dollars. I think it was somewhere between, I never saw the final figure, somewhere between $60 and $80 billion. It's lost 47% of its value. The CEO of the company was given a no vote of confidence by its own stockholders. Now, you got to understand that these stockholders invest in companies because they know they have a guaranteed appreciating and increasing return on the value of their stock, not just as dividends, but also the value of the stock goes up. Not anymore. And once the big firms, once the institutional buyers see that Monsanto is dead in the water because it's going to start all these lawsuits, it could lose up to $800 billion by one estimate. That would virtually destroy the company and buyer with it. They're now one and the same company. So, who was behind that? One of the chief people was Robert F. Kennedy, Jr. Now I set his sights on one of the major pharmaceutical companies and vaccine makers, Merck. So today you're going to learn about the fraud, deception, and criminal activity of Merck. We have 7 million adults caring for their children who have been vaccinated, injured, or damaged, or dead. They have not been given due process. They have been denied the compensation or even the honest review by the pediatricians, the pharmacists, the nurses that have caused this. The only way we can stop this genocide and abuse of children with vaccination, mandatory vaccination in particular, and the MMR vaccine and Gardasil specifically, is by taking away the 1986 law under the corrupt Reagan administration. Well, they've all been corrupt because they've been influenced, that indemnified mean hold harmless the vaccine makers. And then the corruption of the CDC, totally corrupt organization, where they own the patents on dozens of vaccines. They then contract with people like Merck to manufacture them, and then Merck kicks back a lot of profit. We're talking about an enormous amount of profit. So no one is of a mind, let's look honestly at the vaccines. No one at the National Academy of Science, certainly no one at the New York Times, Washington Post, CNN. No one at Mother Jones, The Nation magazine. The entire left has abrogated its responsibility on everything today. Outside of hating Trump and nothing else matters, they've lost their collective minds. They don't want to look for the truth. Well, we do. So we believe that this is an opportunity to nail Merck, to do the same thing with them, to hold them to a standard of accountability and seek justice for those who have been damaged and prove that the vaccines did it. RFK has the courage and the knowledge to do that. As you will see, we're about to challenge on My Dear Tuesday Wikipedia. I've been telling you, it's coming. No one's been paying attention. I would suggest those involved lawyer up. We are. And that big crusade is about to start. Let's go first to the latest on health and healing. Now, sometimes in life, there are special places that seem to stand out to us. Maybe it's a school play yard, perhaps an old church, or that inconspicuous street corner where you were kissed for the first time, or tried a cappella. That didn't work so well, unless you were Frankie Valli. Before the kiss, you had never even noticed that corner. It's as if the special experience with that beloved person transferred positive emotion to the location. Our attitude towards these places thus suddenly changes. They become valuable to us. But could this also happen purely by the power of imagination rather than by actual experiences? This is what some scientists at the Max Planck Institute for Human Cognitive and Brain Sciences, together with a group from Harvard University, have examined, and they published in Nature Communications, a very respected journal. They show that our attitudes can be influenced not only by what we actually experience, but also by what we imagine. Furthermore, they believe the phenomena is based on activity in a particular location in the frontal part of our brains and the prefrontal cortex. So I just thought I'd share that with you because this gets to the heart of what I lectured about for the last 2 weeks at our retreat. In every one of my lectures in the evening, I talked about what is real in your life. How do you know it's real? What have you done to challenge the beliefs you live by? How many are based upon someone else's ideas, and how many of those ideas are reasonable or unreasonable? Or a convolution of multiple positive and negative influences growing up. Can you separate out the negative so the positive can bloom? We had a little class down there, and there's a wonderful human being who comes to the different retreats. She just shows up. She spends her life traveling around the United States, going to community gardens in Denver, in California, in Michigan, in Detroit, in New York City. And she helps donate her time. Not because she's rich and can afford it. It's because she's committed to making it a better world in the way that she can. And she was showing people how, see all these shrubs here? What's wrong with it? What's wrong with it is we perceive it to be nice because we haven't looked at its roots. We don't look deep enough. We look at everything from a distance. Now look what happens when we remove these vines and these weeds. Ah, a day later, suddenly the whole plant, as if being allowed to thrive with no shackles, no limitations, thrives. And you actually see it. I mean, one day you see no roses open, and the next day they're all in bloom. Why? Because they were competing for the nutrition, and the weeds were taking the majority of it. So there are times in life where we must unshackle ourselves from the presumptions that we've lived with. And a lot of those presumptions are based upon our attitudes. Yes, something is real. Why is it real? Because you believe it or because you've proven it? Well, you imagine something's the right diet. These foolish diets we're on all the time, the high-protein diet, the paleo diet, the caveman's diet, these are all stupid. but you believe they were right because someone convinced you. So we're susceptible to being convinced, yes. Sometimes that conviction is good, sometimes it's not. But now we have to understand that our imagination can liberate us, because I believe that what we cannot imagine, we cannot create. And if we feel that we do not have the imagination and the skill to master our imagination, then we turn the creativity part over, and by extension, everything that comes from that, to someone else. Hence, we get trapped into the belief system of a guru, a cult leader. This guy's on trial now, Ranieri in New York. And politicians. Right now, John Bolton. And if Bolton ever has an arrest warrant, he will never be found if he goes to Alaska and hangs out with a group of Walruses, because you wouldn't be able to tell him from the Walrus. But Bolton is a warmonger. He loves war. Why? I'm not sure. But does he? You bet. Look at his years of hammering war is good. We've got to fight. We don't have to do any of this. But think of the people who believed him. Why didn't have the imagination to see how to deal with countries in a non-warlike manner, in a peaceful manner, working cooperatively together to help one another? That's not in his imagination. So what's not in your imagination is not in your reality. From Beth Israel Medical Center comes a study about broccoli. It seems though there's some chemicals in broccoli that reawaken the function of potent tumor suppressors. Your mother was right. Broccoli's good for you. Now, it's long been associated with decreased risk of cancer, and broccoli and other cruciferous vegetables, the family of plants that also includes cauliflower, cabbage, collard greens, Brussels sprouts, kale, radishes, mustard, contain a molecule that inactivates a gene known to play a role in the variety of common human cancers. This was published in the peer-reviewed journal Science, and very important because they found that ingredient can suppress tumor growth in cancer-prone laboratory animals. So we've been talking about this for a long time. I've been telling you about what is called indole-3-carbinol, isothiocyanates. These are the sulfur compounds that really are good for you. So they've caught up, and now they're showing what actually happens at the genetic level. It was indole-3-carbinol. So what you've been doing for years, decades hopefully, thank goodness they just found out that it's important. From the National Institutes of Biomedical Innovation in Japan comes a study that green tea is really good for your oral health. Coffee, not at all. Green tea, because it has some very important chemicals, natural chemicals in it, what we call phytonutrients, and these can stimulate killing bad bacteria in the mouth, even viruses, and stimulating healthier gums. And that's good, green tea. Also, according to UCLA Medical Center, better diet can cut death risk of breast cancer, meaning less fat, more fruits, and you can cut the risk of dying of breast cancer. That's pretty good. So this was a large experiment. So get rid of the fat, eat more fruits and vegetables, and lower your risk of, if you're a woman, of dying of breast cancer. And again, all this is not new to you, but we're glad that orthodox science and medicine is catching up. That's the latest on Health Nina. I'm going to cut a little short because I want to give RFK Jr. time to go into this, because we have to start pushing back. I'm going to have Danny Sheehan on the show in the next week, because I'm collecting the insights of 10 of the America's leading constitutional lawyers. And I'm going to ask them, why don't we sue the federal government, get it into the court system, that vaccines are against the Ninth Amendment? We have a right to know that something is safe or not, and we have a right not to agree to be medicated against our will. That's a police state. That's fascism. That's what the liberals now. Isn't it amazing? I grew up as a liberal. I now look at them and think, my God, you're as bad as the Republicans, the conservatives. I didn't think anybody could get worse than that. They're just two scorpions with immunity to each other's stings and a cocktail glass fighting nonstop. So thank goodness more and more people are walking away from the corporate Democrat community and walking away from the conservative liberal community. Not that they're not high ideals within conservative beliefs, there are, and liberal beliefs, absolutely. Look at the truth wherever it's at. They sure as heck don't have either. So we need to sue at the federal level to protect all of our rights against this illegal invasion, because every single constitutional person I spoke with, including Danny Schechter just this week, said, Danny Sheehan, said, no, the government cannot mandate that you take something if you're a healthy person. They can't. If they're doing so, they're doing it illegally. Well, why doesn't someone sue them? We'll back them. I know the people in this audience will back them. Then we win. So let's start suing the hell out of every institution and everything that's wrong to get some people's attention in the system, the court system. Back in a moment with my guest, RFK Jr. Please stay with us.
Hit it. How you feel, brother?
Feeling good.
You feel good?
Feeling good. It's
play so much bone, brother.
Yeah.
How you feel, man?
I feel all right.
I'll call your name. I don't want no people to know you're in here.
Yeah.
How you feel, brother?
Yeah,
hey, yeah. Sure getting down. Look at him. Ha. We're gonna have a bunk.
Right now, we're going to talk about Merck's vaccines and the culture of corruption and deception that permeates it from top to bottom. My guest, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., he's in California. He's an ardent defender of the environment and the health of children. As a world-leading protector of the environment, he is the founder and president of the Waterkeeper Alliance. Last year, he founded Children's Health Defense, a children's advocacy organization dedicating to enlightening the public about toxic risk to children, including vaccines and aluminum and fluoride and pesticides and food additives and electromagnetic frequency technology, among others. The organization also serves as a watchdog on federal and state vaccine policies. Earlier, Robert served as the Assistant District Attorney for New York City, an advocate for the rights of South Africans, South Americans, Canadian Indigenous tribes, those who are the underdogs, those whose rights have been violated. He steps forth, stands between them and the oppressor. He has successfully strengthened treaties to protect Indigenous homelands. Robert holds degrees from Harvard University and law degrees from the University of Virginia and Pace University School of Law. He is the author of Thimerosal, Let the Science Speak, the evidence supporting the immediate removal of mercury. His websites are childrenshealthdefense.org and robertfkennedyjr.com. Nice to have you with us today, Robert.
Gary, thank you for having me.
Robert, I would like to do the following. I want to do this a little differently in that I would like for you to do almost a classroom on the air where we are listening because we need to know this information. It's not just casual information. It's not just some disconnected existential information. It is life and death information. So please take us through the question of Merck's Gardasil vaccines. Vaccines will be the larger issue, but I'd like to start with Gardasil because when you start looking at the people, the young teenage girls who are dead or who have had their lives turned upside down because their parents believed that no one would ever give them intentionally or knowingly a dangerous vaccine, and yet your meticulous research has shown us that we should not have accepted the words of Merck, its scientists, and its advocates. So take us on that story, if you would, please. The forum is yours.
Yeah, the Gardasil vaccine is a boondoggle. There's no evidence, and the problems are both in efficacy and even much worse in safety. But as to efficacy, there is no evidence that vaccine actually prevents cervical cancer. But Merck is in kind of the cat's bird seat, because they're mandating, you know, with their partners at CDC, the vaccine for 9-year-old girls. And the mean death for cervical cancer is 58 years of age. So they're going to 9-year-olds and saying, we're going to give you this shot, and 50 years from now, you'll thank us because you won't have cervical cancer. And of course, they're never going to be around to see whether it actually worked or not. The vaccine, the theory behind the vaccine is that certain HPV strains, there are over 100 HPV strains, but certain of those are associated with cervical cancer tumors, and the vaccine can prevent those strains in young women, or at least a limited period of time. You know, we think maybe around 10 years, but most of those lesions resolve, over 90% of them resolve naturally, and we really don't know whether the HPV virus is causing the vaccine or whether it's a free rider, and we don't know what the impacts are of removing it. So there's not any proof that this vaccine has averted a single case of cervical cancer, and there's a lot of evidence that suggests the vaccine actually causes cancer, including dramatically raising the risks for some women of cervical cancer. And I will talk about that in a second, but we are seeing cancer rates increasing now for the first time in decades. You know, pap smears really drove cervical cancers down by 90%. And we're now seeing a return of cervical cancer since the introduction of the HPV vaccine in 2002. I just saw data from the state of Maryland yesterday, which has a very aggressive vaccination program in the schools, and we're seeing the cervical cancer now rates rise by 13% there. In Sweden and Australia, and France, we also, and the UK, the places where we have data, we're seeing dramatic rises in cervical cancer that may be associated with vaccine or may be associated with girls just not doing pap smears anymore because they believe that they're protected by the vaccine. But the big problem is in safety. And you have to remember, in the United States, the cervical cancer death rate is very small. It's 2.3 women out of 100,000, so that's about one in every 43,000 people. And the vaccine costs $420 for the three-shot series. $420 is very expensive. So that means in order to save a single life, the cost is, or at least theoretical life, is $18 million per life saved. And that may be a reasonable amount of money to spend to save a life, but HHS has evaluated the value of a life elsewhere in its vaccine program. Its vaccine courts are prohibited from awarding more than $250,000 per life if a vaccine kills you. So when you're making profits for Merck, they're willing to pay $18 million a life. But when Merck kills your child, you know, of the government will only pay $250,000 for that. So there is a delta there. The big problem with the vaccine is probably the aluminum adjuvant. Vaccine, dead virus vaccines do not provide robust or long duration immunity. So they will not provoke an immune response that is robust enough or long enough in duration to get a license from FDA. And vaccinologists learn very early on that if they add something horrendously toxic to the vaccine, that it shocks the system and it imprints that viral particle into the memory of your immune system, so that the next time it sees that viral particle, it will mount a very strong allergic antibody response. So they can actually get their license if they add something toxic. And there's an axiom in vaccinology that the more toxic the adjuvant, the longer and more robust the antibody response. Well, for a vaccine like Gardasil, where you're trying to make an antibody response last for 50 years, you have to put in the most horrendously toxic material. And so they've developed an adjuvant that they call a trade secret, but it's an aluminum-based adjuvant. And Merck has never done any studies to tell us what the fate of that aluminum in the human body is after they give the vaccine to the girls. So the aluminum has never been safety tested. And when we do know that when that aluminum adjuvant is given to sheep, the sheep develop immediate and very dramatic behavioral problems and aggression and other injuries. And we're seeing a wave of autoimmune injuries that most people or many scientists believe are associated with the aluminum adjuvant in the vaccine. When you look at Merck's clinical trials, and if anybody, you know, I have a lecture on all of this stuff in detail in on the Children's Health Defense website. You can follow, you should go there. You can see this all laid out with slides. And I would ask your followers to follow me also on Instagram, because I talk about a lot of those issues there, at least until they completely censor us. But when they had the most damning evidence against this vaccine is in the clinical trials, and everybody has access to these. It's very easy. Pick up your phone, go to Safari, and type in Gardasil vaccine insert, and then you can go to the tables. You can see the numbers that I'm about to tell you. And if you ever want to talk a girl or a parent out of getting this shot, that's all you need to do. Because, and you go to table 10, I think it is, which is the autoimmune diseases. So that's the panel where they show what happened to the girl, what autoimmune diseases the girls in the, you know, the 20,000 girls in the study got when they used the vaccine. And as it turns out, 2.3% showed signs of autoimmune disease within 6 months. Now, autoimmune diseases are like Guillain-Barré, multiple sclerosis, rheumatoid arthritis, juvenile diabetes, and many others. I have a client who, Jennifer Roby, who has POTS, which is a disease that she got at age 15 from the Gardasil vaccine. She's confined to a wheelchair for the rest of her life, and she has seizures sometimes every 90 seconds, and she is, you know, she's 24 years old and wearing Depends. And she, and this has happened to many, many, many girls, tens of thousands of them around the world who suffered these injuries. So, here is a vaccine that is supposed to prevent you from getting an illness that kills 2.3 out of every 100,000 people. But the trade-off is that 1 in 40 people is getting autoimmune disease, according to Merck's own data. Nobody in the world would accept that bargain if they actually looked at the data. The doctors aren't looking at it. The people who advise and recommend these vaccines are not looking at it, but any parent can look at it, and if they do, if they're rational, they will not use this vaccine. So it is very horrendously dangerous. One of the other highlights that you can look up is there's a section of the clinical trials where it showed what happened to the woman in the study who had been previously exposed to HPV. Oh, you know, this is one of the reasons they're trying to give this to 9-year-old girls, because they want to make sure that they're not giving it to people who have actually already been exposed, because what their data showed is that for women who have been exposed to previously before getting the vaccine, if you've been exposed to the HPV virus, that there is a negative efficacy of 46%. What does that mean? It means your risk for getting cervical cancer lesions is not diminished by the vaccine, but actually increased by 46%. Oh, and it's for that category of women who've been previously exposed. Well, there's a lot of studies out there that indicate that you do not have to have had sex in order to be previously exposed. At 34% of 2 to 10-year-old girls have been previously exposed to HPV and have it in their system because of contact with HPV in the birth canal. And with older women who are, you know, post-puberty, the rates of HPV exposure are 75% to 80%. And if they miss you when you're 9 years old, they're going to come after you to get into school, and they're going to be giving you this course of vaccines up until 15, 16, 17. They've just been approved for 26 to 40-year-olds, which is criminal, because they know that most of those women, a vast majority of those women, that the risk of cervical cancer is actually dramatically increased by this vaccine rather than decreased. So it's false advertising, but it's criminal behavior. They are killing people with this vaccine. And there's a, you know, the miscarriage rate, the death rate among girls who participate in the clinical trial was double the background rate. Your chance of dying from this vaccine, according to their own reports, is 37 times the chance of you dying from cervical cancer. The miscarriage rate was 5 times the background miscarriage rate. The infertility rate, the reproductive problem rate, was astronomical. It was off the charts. And you're seeing now, we're seeing reports, I saw one yesterday, that the fertility rate in this generation of American children has dropped dramatically. And people are saying, why is that? Are they spending too much time on their cell phones? And looking at all of this, bizarre explanations for why fertility rates have dropped since 2006 in American young people, the one thing they're not looking at is a vaccine that is given to all of these young people, and which the clinical studies, Merck Corporation, Merck's own scientists, predicted that, yeah, of course we're going to have fertility problems in the generation that gets this vaccine, because that's what the clinical studies shows. We're seeing higher adverse event rates post-marketing of this vaccine than any vaccine on the schedule. About 22% of the injuries reported for all vaccinations are attributed now to the Gardasil vaccine, and the rates for serious injuries, for hospitalizations, for deaths, for permanent disabilities are much, much higher than that, double and triple that. So it's a bad vaccine. I don't give people health advice because I'm not a doctor, but I have read the clinical studies here, and the clinical studies show, number one, it is more likely to give you cervical cancer than to prevent it, and number two, that it's a very, very dangerous, horrendously dangerous vaccine, and people should not take this vaccination.
Let's take a look at some other areas as well. For example, there's a great deal of evidence that Merck's scientists doctored the clinical trials and data, falsifying the results by who they excluded in a study. Remember, when a person goes in to get a vaccine into a pharmacy, even now UPS is giving vaccines on trucks, in a school, in a doctor's office, you're not set down. You're not shown the 45 paragraphs of the side effects. You're not for any vaccine. You're not also questioned in depth about, do you have any pre-existing conditions that would preclude you from getting the vaccine that may actually compound your health problems because the vaccine would not be right for you. All of that seems to have been excluded. So they intentionally, and with malice, they designed a study that would protect the reputation of the vaccine but harm the people. Take us through Merck's clinical trials and doctoring. Merck succeeded in deceiving physicians about the safety of their medications and vaccines.
What you're talking about is what they call the exclusion criteria. So that there's a lot of tricks that Merck used that we see used across the board when they test vaccinations. For one, vaccination was never tested against an inert placebo, and which means that there's no way of assessing the risks of the vaccine. 50% of the girls in the clinical trials got sick, had what they call had serious illnesses within 6 months. 50%, many of them died, and they didn't use a placebo. Instead of being tested against an inert placebo, and if you're tested against an inert placebo, then you can say, you're in the placebo group, nobody died, but 9 girls in the regular group died. In the placebo group, nobody got autoimmune disease, but in the study group, 2.3%, 1 of 40 girls got autoimmune disease, and then red flags go up. So instead of using an inert placebo, they gave the girls in the control group a neurotoxic compound of the adjuvant. So they shot them up with straight aluminum, deadly stuff. And all they then had to do was show that the vaccine, getting the vaccine, was at least as safe as getting pure neurotoxin. And that's how they got their license. They didn't test it against a placebo. They tested against a spiked placebo, or what we call a faux placebo, or what they call an active comparator. And as a result of that, any injuries that were suffered by girls on both sides, in the control and in the study group, They had the discretion to just say, well, that's not vaccine related. That's just sad coincidences. It's a sad coincidence that half the girls who participated got gravely ill within 6 months. and they approved this vaccine. That's one of the, that's one of the worst things that they did. Another thing that they apparently did was that when they wanted to test the only clinical trial where they actually tested it on girls who were within the age group for which the vaccine was recommended, 9 to 15-year-olds. They tested them mainly on much older women or men. But when it came time for them to test these 9 to 15-year-olds, they removed half the aluminum from the study, from the vaccine. So they weren't even testing the vaccine. They were testing something a lot less toxic than the vaccine. That's just outright scientific fraud. And they got away with it. They got their product, which they're making $3.2 billion a year on. In addition to that, the issue that you mentioned is that they use what they call exclusionary criteria. So when the study began, they would give the girls a questionnaire, and anybody who had more than four lifetime sexual partners, anybody who had who had ever had a seizure or nervous disorders, or who drank alcohol or took drugs, or people who had, whose parents had or illnesses in their family, a whole range of illnesses, or the last thing is anybody who the researchers who are Merck employees believed would their participation would interfere with the study objectives, which was clearly the study objective was to get this vaccine license, could be excluded at their discretion. So the girls that ended up in the study group were girls who were basically, in court, I compared them to the Avengers. They were kind of superhumans. They were people who had no health problems for their entire lives and who were just super, super healthy. These are people who are not, who are the least likely people to show injuries from the vaccine. And yet, when they give the vaccine to in your doctor's office, they're not saying to you, don't take this vaccine if you've had more than four lifetime sexual partners, or if you've had seizures, or if your parents had seizures, or if you drink and take drugs. They give it to everybody. So they weren't testing the vaccine in a population that was the same or similar to as the population that they intended to give the vaccine to. So it's just another of many, many, many deceptions that Merck used to hide the adverse events from this vaccine. But, you know, just if anybody can go on the website, I want to say this again, and look for the vaccine insert, and you will see that 50% of the girls got sick. They called it new medical conditions. Within 6 months of getting that vaccine, that ain't normal. And 2.3 got autoimmune diseases. And many of them died. And many of them had fertility problems. The ones who were pregnant had miscarriage rates that were off the charts. This vaccine should not be given to anybody. And do not let a doctor give this vaccine to your child.
I appreciate
those insights. We now know also the aluminum in the vaccine, and these are studies that have been done by Chris Shaw up in Vancouver and Chris Axley, who's the world's leading expert on aluminum in the UK, that aluminum goes to your brain, it crosses the blood-brain barrier, and it stays in your brain for the rest of your life. And it does, it causes inflammation, and aluminum, as most people know, is associated with early onset dementia and Alzheimer's, and we're now in the midst of an epidemic of those injuries, but it also causes a lot of behavioral problems. in people even when they're young. We know that they gave it to his sheep. In Spain, there's a study by Luis Luján in Spain where they showed that when they gave Merck's aluminum adjuvant, the sheep began attacking each other and tearing the wool off the other sheep and had a lot of other behavioral problems and became malnourished, and many of them died. This is a global human experiment. It is not a good public health choice.
You're listening to Rod F. Kenner, Jr. He is talking about his concern for all the children who received the Gardasil vaccine. Robert, let us now shift gears and go to Merck, the same manufacturer of the Gardasil, to their measles, mumps, and rubella vaccine, because Merck had whistleblower scientists that the media will not interview talking about fudging or falsifying the MMR safety and efficacy claims. And also you have Bill Gates and the Bill Melinda Gates Foundation. Is there any association that you have found between Merck for the promotion of the MMR vaccine? But also there's an enormous campaign going on now, and Bill Gates is supporting this campaign to discredit anyone who questions the safety of vaccines. Even the Washington Post had a statement this past week that if you're not for vaccines, if you're an anti-vaxxer, you're a bad person. You're a dangerous person. You're a danger to society. You're one of the top 10 problems in the world, according to the World Health Organization. You should actually go to jail. That's how radicalized the attacks have been. And virtually all the scientists I know in the field who've independently found the dangers in vaccines have been targeted, as well as journalists, and I'm sure yourself as well. Take us through this side of the story, please.
Well, what happened with the Merck MMR vaccine is that Merck, in order to invest the money that it needed to invest developing the vaccine, Merck wanted the FDA to agree to give Merck a monopoly. The FDA said that we're not going to give you a monopoly unless you can show 95% efficacy in the mumps, measles, and rubella component. So each component had to show on its own that it was 95% efficacious. The measles component, the mumps component got nowhere close to that. I think the closest they could get was 69%. So according to the two top scientists at MMR, Merck bigwigs ordered them to give injections of mumps antigens, mumps viral product particles, to rabbits. And when those rabbits developed an antibody response, to remove the antibodies from the rabbits and inject them into the human blood vials in order to hoodwink FDA into believing that the human response was going to be 95%. The scientists did that, and they also directly falsified study results. And as a result of that, Merck got the MMR monopoly. But the problem is that the mumps portion of that vaccine does not work. It gives people temporary immunity, but then the mumps attacks them later. So there's a lot of adults and post-pubescent kids who are walking around who have no mumps antibodies. And that's a problem, because the mumps is a mild and mostly harmless disease if you get it when you're a child. But if you get it post-puberty, it can cause a lot of bad problems, including encephalopathy, meningitis, but also, more commonly, shrunken gonads in males and infertility in both males and females. And we're now seeing mumps epidemics around the country in older populations. So there's been one at Harvard, there's one at Temple, I think, there's one at Syracuse. And there's one on a military ship called the USS Fort McHenry, which has been flying in circles for almost 5 months now because there's a mumps epidemic running through the 703 Marines and sailors on board that ship. And all of them, by the way, are fully vaccinated with the MMR. It's just that the MMR doesn't work. And the same problem holds with the measles portion. Merck initially promised that the measles and the immunity from measles would last a lifetime. And they kept that promise on their website until, I think, 1976. And they realized it was waning. And they took it off. So there's many people now, adults out there, who don't have measles antibodies. And measles, again, is a disease that you want to get as a kid. You don't want to get it as an adult. And you really don't want it as a baby. And as it turns out, the women who get the measles, the MMR vaccine, do not pass sufficient maternal antibodies to their babies. It used to be that if you were a baby, you were protected from measles because you got antibodies from your mom. But now American women no longer have those antibodies to give to their kids. So you're seeing now that measles, instead of being stopped by this vaccine, is simply pushed into more vulnerable populations. Oh, into more vulnerable age cohorts, so that instead of getting measles as a child when it was a mild and relatively harmless disease, people are now getting it as little babies and adults when it can kill you. It gives you pneumonia, and it can be a very deadly disease. And that's the problem. And, you know, it's very odd that Democratic legislators around the country are now passing these laws to force people unwillingly to use the police power of the state to force people to get this vaccine that was obtained by fraud and is going to doom a lot of American children to get mumps in older age and measles in older age when they can be very, very dangerous.
Could you discuss the campaign of antagonism, character assassination, libel and slander, this going on 24/7, where virtually the entire mainstream media is attacking any of the anti-vaxxers, including the 7 million adults whose children were vaccine damaged? And it's rather hypocritical to say, my body, my choice, on all other issues, fine. But what about my body, my choice when I become informed about the power of my choice when it comes to vaccines? And so all those people are being attacked themselves, as well as the scientists, the physicians, the pediatricians. Ken Stoller, the pediatrician in California, is now up to lose his license. They're going after the lawyers who are defending the rights of their clients not to vaccinate if they choose not to, for religious or philosophical or other reasons. So there's an all-out campaign, and behind this is also one of the most powerful voices supporting vaccines, and that's Bill Gates.
Yeah, I mean, the media has really been, you know, are committing massive media malpractice, and you have to believe that a lot of it has to do with the $25 billion a year that the pharmaceutical industry is pumping into the networks and the newspapers and into the blogs, which has bought them not only advertising but content. There's only two nations in the world that allow direct-to-consumer advertising by pharmaceutical companies. The U.S. is one, and we're now paying the price for that. In addition, you know, these vaccine companies have separate side deals with, you know, some of the liberal media platforms. You don't see any, you know, for many years, Slate, Salon, Daily Beast, Mother Jones, Politico, and and Huffington Post have been censoring criticism or questioning of vaccines in their journals. These journals are supposed to be the anecdote to corporate dominance of democracy, but the networks are just advertising vectors. Anti-vaxxers is designed to shut people up, because if you're an anti-vaxxer, we don't have to listen to you. Most of the people in this movement are not ideologically anti-vax. They are mainly, probably 90% of them, the mothers of an intellectually disabled child. They were pro-vax, they vaccinated their children, they believed in the vaccines, and their child got injured, and now they don't want to give the vaccine to him.
Robert, I'm sorry, but we're out of time. I'd like to thank you very much for being on. I know that we will support your cause. You're one of only a handful, a very small handful of attorneys out there who are taking on major corporations to try to correct injustices. And what better way to support our health than to support you challenging Merck, and by extension, the FDA and the CDC, that is fully captured agencies on our behalf. Thank you very much. I'm Gary Noll. Remember, we are taking on the issues. We took on the New York Times this week. Read the article on 5G. They said it's safe. We proved it wasn't. We've taken on Wikipedia. They said they're objective. They're not. And we're going to continue every day next week taking on another major corporation that is violating our trust and health. Have a nice weekend, everyone.